I even said, like, I don't think you should put me first because I only have a really dark poem.
Yay. Yay. Meant to be.
I wrote this poem after I came home from a year in service in Afghanistan. So it's a very hard and dark poem, and I think it has to be in order to be honest. It's called Wounded Village. You know, my mama was a Catholic, a true believer, man. Not the in-your-face, clubby with a crucifix type, but rather the so sorry to hear about your wife, Jesus has a plan type. Funny thing is, if she knew all the things I'd done, she'd think I was heading for hell. Nothing but flaming pitchforks and half-naked goatmen. I gotta admit, I dream about it. Hell, that is. Some fucking imps would be turning me on a spit all night long. But then I stopped caring and started looking forward to it. I just took the truth in the face like a vial of acid. Bottom line is, at least in hell I'd be getting punished and making amends for all that blood I spilt. Not like now. I got away scot-free, except I push around this shame boulder wherever I go. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting one of those things. They're getting abandoned by the roadsides as veterans kill themselves in droves. Once we patrolled to the goat-fuck village of Nacadak to meet some locals we'd hired to build a road, but the Taliban showed up first and cut off their ears and noses. I guess the fuckers did it right in the middle of the marketplace so everyone could see. I can't imagine being that next guy in line, on my knees in the oven sun, waiting my turn for the gory shears. In a way, that was a good day for me because it made killing Taliban seem just. I still got all my face in the right spot, no Picasso here, but I can relate to those mutilated bastards, feeling like a monster and growing old and lonely because no one, not even you, can stand your ugliness. I'd say if everyone in our village was part of one big-ass person, where one guy was the hands and another the brain, then my job would be the jagged and protruding ridge of bone marking the spot where the ear was hacked off.
Thank you, Matt. Nothing like a bit of creativity to get that frustration out. Second up is Jack Shortland.
I call this a lesson learned. It's made up of three haikus, so it's very short. Add life, light to still life. Softly rub and smooth with thumb, not for sweaty hands. Make and do patchwork, hem and stitch on floral piece, not for sweaty hands. Light shortcrust pastry, knead and roll on a floured board, not for sweaty hands.
Thank you, Jack. Charles Clark is next.
Based on the television program of last night, particularly Prison for Peace, I think, of it in exile, and it was it's very, very fine, and gets a chance to see it. Of it in exile, a peasant passes, driving a horse and cart. A ferris is at the end of a channel, delta of the Danube. Disagreeable food, lovely people. A statue of the great poet surmounts the epitaph composed in Ossa on the verge of an empire whose faults you got to know.
Thank you, Charles. According to this list, the next number is 4B. That's Mary O'Connell. Mary, you can only be on the A lists, you know, but you can't be on the B list.
Thank you. This is called Crucible. To woo her is his plan. Get her to agree to bring him back with her to the city of his birth. His mother walks away, decides to steal her heart in case it grows too fond. Says it's the best way with the pair to stay with the pair of maiden aunts she's asked to take him in. Returning to New York, she leaves him where he is. Rejection by the mother could have blocked all blossoming, yet in John Montague, it was the dam burst that unleashed a headlong flow. Words dredged from the shadow well were transmuted to poetry by the alchemy of loss. To speak was full of pitfalls. His knotting tongue snagged over consonants, stumbled when he read a poem aloud. He persisted, continuing to navigate the sounds that came gifted by the muse. A renowned and much loved poet, magus of the image and the word, cresting the vicissitudes thrown in his way by fate, he survived what had occurred.
Thank you, Mary, and I hope that last line, he survived what occurred, will apply to me. Because the next name on this list, maybe Telsa? Teresa. Thanks, Teresa.
This poem is called The Rhythm of the Wind. She breathes lightly now, gently touching form, beating on eardrums, a whistling tune, in rhythm with the rippling river. Seagulls glide overhead, risen free above the burden of knowing, as the river flickers in the evening light.
It's not your handwriting, it's my eyesight. Now, you know when your parents give you names, like my middle name is Donald, which obviously nowadays would be pretty disastrous with being Mr. Trump or all, but as a kid I never told anyone my middle name, because everybody just went duck immediately. But there are people in the world who are blessed when their parents give them names and they just roll off the top. And our next open mic is one of those people, Carmen Palomino.
Violet romance. Full blue moon and half empty pint. I am traveling to follow the sun. In my hands I hold this wooden creature, its body light and fragile, streaming waves of vibration through my arm and into my heart. Feathery bow, lightly stroking nerve endings of bohemian tongues. melancholic echoes of past lives, sounds that sleep in my dreams, songs of romance. Rowing along the city walls, my boat silently sliding down the river of the night. Anonymous little windows turning off their lights one by one. I cannot tame you, love, but watch out. I'm coming to you like a thief, and I make you mine.
Isn't it amazing how you can make a threat, a real threat, sound so sweet? Oh, I thought she was. Patricia Walsh is next.
This is called infinite good. No guilty situation can save us now. Stench of death extended over a noble cause. Soul transgression going like body parts. Bought and sold downtown at a reduced rate. Fear of the avaricious suggested a good call. Coming out of the wash, as the story goes. Sundry kisses stand to ceremony and crash. No question of trust anymore, a big girl now. Now respected afterwards once the deed is done. No right to affection after the event. I will wait for nowadays I sleep. Passing by purpose with a lurky glint. Bypassing intelligence, going extremely postal. Coming out the other side, hung to dry. Hypocrisies of help offered run riot. Expanding with heat without a mumble. The aggrandites celebrate anyway like so. Once out of the equation I can see for dust. Reduced to hearing the infinite stories. A calendar seeming the past newly won. Circulating blood is a wanton telegram. A library of good, a delinquent of propriety. Fathering a hurt brain and soul to foot. No connection with others in academic tie. Nor any love's aesthetic aborted to the skin. Thank you.
I'm going to apologise in advance for my terrible pronunciation of the next person's name. Despite is it 5 years of French in school, I never quite got it. Cédric Vicomte.
Well, you got it right, actually.
Oh, yeah.
He was born from a tied nucleon, always orbiting, tied by all forces, strong and weak. State was unknown all over the place. While they told him potent, he was merely present, somewhere probable at best. All it took was a bit of excitation, once, to cast him away on his own adventure. Half his life would be a fate bent by magnetic ventures, leaving him spinning in all directions. Until he was wrongly thought bipolar. No one understood how he could head straight, regardless of the obstacle, at the speed of light. But he had a secret. To stay young, you must move fast and see everyone as relative. However, beware. To survive at the speed of light, don't be too bright. He had traveled far, and by the time he hit a wall, what thought to have reached his hand, scattered in space. But in fact, he was now everywhere, and his legacy still makes waves. They should have named him Potem.
Thanks, Edward. And I mean, look, you know, I knew I was getting old, but when, you know, if you must move fast to stay young, then I'm fucked, because I stopped moving fast years ago. But thanks for captioning my elderliness. Is that a word? Ray Hanrahan is next.
Yes,
Whisperer. All animals were at ease with him, not just the canines. Cows would relax when he handled them for milking. The bull would consent to have his mighty hooves pared in his presence. Sheep and horses would gather round him, curious to see this singularly gifted man. The swallows and starlings would gather on the wires to hear him whistle a tune of his childhood. Rooks and pigeons would not scatter when he walked among them. The cats would knowingly salute him with a respectful look as he passed by. Butterflies and wasps approached him without fear, knowing that their goes, one of animal kind's anointed, a saint for the dumb creatures who know more than we suspect about human motives and human cruelty. He knew their moods, when to approach and when to stay severely away. He could train a dog to do the most amazing things, to howl along with a tune on the radio, song on the radio, to herd all beasts from ducks to cows, to chase crows on command. He could even make the owl appear in daytime and persuade the cuckoo to lay her eggs elsewhere. He had all these gifts. And yet, there was one animal whose sense eluded him, the human one.
Thanks, Ray. Was that good? You knocked the microphone over. I don't know, I've got a thing in my head tonight about names. I'm just going to have to stop. I don't know, this one again, Cliff Wedgbury, you lucky bastard to get in there like that. Cliff Wedgbury.
Now the police are still looking for me. I'm just going to do take you back over 50 years, a silly rhyming poem called Smarties. At 17 I was a mod. Loved the Kinks, the Who and Rod. Drove my Vespa down Cheapside, all the girls screamed for a ride. Levi jeans, Ben Sherman shirts, chatting girls in miniskirts. Down King's Road in shoes of suede, ever impatient to get laid. Frothy coffee, pinball games, Townsend sang I can't explain. Jukebox with the volume high, Friday night up west we'd fly. High on blues then coming down, dancing close to Tamla Motown. Getting drunk at all night parties, popping pills like they were Smarties. Doing wheelies at Waterloo after work, I'd wait for you. Off to Brighton, feeling free, candy floss and the sunset sea. Wearing parkas along the prom, summertime, the air was warm. Sleeping under the midnight pier, bag of chips and a can of beer. You studied drama up the Strand, at 1 o'clock I held your hand. To Lion's Corner House we flew, cheese on toast and tea for two. I always loved the clothes you wore. The perfect image of Sandy Shaw. You walked around devoid of shoes, then dumped me for a fella in the moody blues. He picked you up in his MGB on the town for a spending spree. Whiskey and coke in Chelsea pubs, backstage pass to all the trendy clubs. In Polaroids I rode around, looking cool in London town, singing whatever will be, plenty of spearfish in the sea, meeting dates on Bond Street Station, talking about my generation. The year was 1964, when all the girls looked like Sandy Shaw, high on blues then coming down, dancing close to Tamla Motown, getting drunk at all night parties, popping pills like they were Smarties. The end. Woo!
Things hidden in that humour. One is a misspent youth, possibly. But secondly, and far more interestingly, that could be the foundation for a rom-com of Quadrophenia. There's an opportunity. Alice is next.
Various levels of the cosmic scale, which is called the microcosm, macrocosm. I never write of what I don't experience firsthand. Living on such barren land, there is often not much to write about, of what happens without. But within, it all tumbles and rolls, as the imagined hell's bell tolls, to the vortex of the force that places deep, and unfolds the wrinkled soul parchment. Within, I have imagined eons beyond conscious reckoning. They beckon all that ever considered itself a me that lies within me, to alien red desert dust. Without, I see the patterns of repetition, and they wear my patience thin. I drown it within, I drown it within. But I cannot care for contemporary cares and worries as much as those attached to the side of time. Half absorbed is half formed. But a whole universe can lie beside one being, and a whole being can hide behind that mirror you and I hold dear, for it makes us feel real to the imagined eyes of others we presume we can relate to in our constricting humanness. But beyond this, beyond its needy frantic reach, eons on eons of time stretch outward to where all the tiny human soul clusters form and bind, create the tentacled limbs of the great organism. The moment when even that tires of its own repeating cycles, it stretches its tentacles one last time and reaches out to the one and only that remains standing, offering peace to the others, knowing full well there will be none left but self.
The rest of the room, because I have to bring you back into this realm now, otherwise the night ends. And we have two more contributors, the first of which is Philip Spiller.
Thank you, I'm going to try and remember this opera high as well. Memory hair. Upon my head grows memory hair, and where I step grows fungi. So I walk in a circle, letting them bud out, crisp, white, and spongy, slowly while they age and grow to become stone, a stone circle more profound and amplified in mystic and power, because they somehow echo the moon's sunline. In my own dreaming track, I backtrack to the spot, retracing the old mushroom roads I laid young before, when I was younger, with a rainbow cloak, and my antlers branched out, smothered with leaves of amber. Because I've aged, I've become bold, I've lost my memory hair. Becoming weary in my travels, I ghost in younger orange remains, useless and lost. And what's fearful is I feel myself falling more. I feel like a reaper walking among Gaia's turf bosom. Thank you.
that's had quite a life now at this stage, that piece, hasn't it? It's been a number of different forms. Brilliant, thanks. Yeah, so the first person who contributed to the 5-word challenge tonight and forever has our admiration is going to finish the night for us. So if we could please give a huge welcome to Jacqueline.
Of a Spanish poet, Juan Jiménez, Juan Ramón Jiménez, I think. Sorry for the Spanish. I am not I. I am not I. I am this one walking beside me, whom I do not see, whom at times I manage to visit, and other times I forget. The one who remains silent when I talk, the one who forgives sweet when I hate, the one who takes a walk when I am indoors, the one who will remain standing when I die.
Thanks, Jacqueline. And I'm so glad you decided to take the. I was running backwards and forwards trying to convince her earlier on. Thanks, William. We're actually quite early, so I'm going to read my 5-word poem just because I feel like I'm in the opportunity. You might not be clapping at the end of it. Discipline. Discipline. You've got to have it. That's rule at number one. Rule at number two. Success only comes from discipline. I'll repeat that. Rule number two. Success only comes from discipline. Rule at number three. Copious amounts of discipline are to be dished out always. Do not dish out discipline half-heartedly. No tads, no tinctures, no tiny helpings. Rule number four, thrash the bastards furiously every day if need be. Rule number five, the corners of every classroom are ideal spaces for thrashing the thrashiest of students, the ones who will be best served by abandoning them on a desert island. The ones wrung from DNA that falls way short of godly standards. The ones we keep because we are deeply charitable. Rule number six. Charity is important in this institution. Our emphasis on charity allows us to sleep peacefully each night. Rule number seven. You must never speak of these rooms. Rule number eight. This institution is very important to you, to the state, to God. Rule number nine, we are building character, we are building leaders, we are building society, we are building the future, for all, for country, for God.